Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. In today's episode, we are going to learn more about forms of chant that we see in a mass and explore a very important figure in the 12th century who was a prolific composer of sacred chant. Last episode, we talked about the two parts of the mass, the ordinary and the proper. We also talked about responsorial or antiphonal chants. I didn't specify what these chants might be called, but we can call some of the more complex of them psalm tones. Psalm tones are formulaic in that they can be shaped to fit any psalm. Sometimes the singing of psalm tones is referred to as psalmody, which covers the singing of psalms in the Mass and during the divine office. There are additions to authorized chants that we spoke about last episode, most of which occur in the Mass proper and divine office. The first type of expansion of chant is called a trope. A trope can expand a chant in three ways. Firstly, as an introductory trope with new words and new music before the chant. Secondly, a new melody which extends a certain melisma or even adds new ones. And thirdly, only using new text, which is actually called a prosola. So if you think about it, prosola equals prose, if that helps you remember it. Tropes add more text from the Bible and are typically used on feast days. Another addition to the part of the Mass proper is what we call a sequence. These occur after the Alleluia in the Mass. Burkholder states that sequences were, quote, set syllabically to a text that was mostly in couplets, end quote. Sequences are similar to tropes in that they were additions to the Mass, but a sequence is freestanding. A familiar sequence that we know is the Dies Irae. We might specifically know settings of these from a Requiem by later composers like Mozart and Verdi. In conclusion, these two types of additions to the chanting of the Mass allowed for more inserts of sacred texts in many contexts of the liturgical year. We're going to take a sidestep right now and talk about a composer whose chant output was extremely prolific. Her name was Hildegard von Bingen, and she was a 12th century abbess who wrote and composed. There are more surviving chants from her than any other medieval composer. Her works were mostly composed for the church. A unique feature of her chants is that they extend above an octave by at least a fourth or a fifth. That's a huge range for these chants. One of her most known works is her Ordo Virtutem, which means the virtues, and this was composed in 1151. This work was a sacred music drama with 82 songs. So, in a sense, this sacred music drama is comparable to an oratorio or even an opera. It had characters, choruses, and was overall a morality play. Another work by her that was written around the exact same time is a work called Scivias. This book told about 26 religious visions that she had experienced. I wanted to take time today to showcase a chant by Hildegard von Bingen called O Quam Mirabilis Est. Described by the Hildegard Society website, this chant is an antiphon that, quote, focuses on the unique place that Hildegard understood humanity to have within God's plan for creation, whose total potential she finds reflected in the creation of the first human, end quote. In the episode notes, I have attached a link to the Hildegard Society website. This website offers manuscripts, performances, modern printings of chants, and tons of information about Hildegard. I think it's a great resource that we have today, so take some time to explore that website if you would like. To end today's episode, I'm going to play a sound clip of a performance of the aforementioned chant, O Quam Mirabilis Est, from 2023 that I was a part of in Rochester, New York with a group called Voices. Please enjoy this recording. Next time on Between the Bar Lines, get ready for another Music Theory Friday. We're going to talk about everyone's favorite subject, sight reading. Join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.